Thank you. Today we follow the order of service printed out in your bulletin. Our opening hymn for today as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus, which traditionally the day is always on a Thursday, so it would have been last Thursday. Our opening hymn today is hymn 212, and at this time we sing just the first four verses.
Please stand. We begin by reading
verses 33 through 40 of Psalm 119, and we read it responsibly again, the congregation reading those verses in bold type. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts.
I will speak with thy testimonies also before kings,
and without this shame. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved.
My hands also delight in thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate on thy statutes.
We bow our heads. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, beginning at the 44th verse. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 215, Draw Us to Thee. I invite you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we give you thanks for your grace and your mercy upon us through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would grant us your Holy Spirit and bless both the speaking and the hearing of your word today, that we might be strengthened and built up in our faith in your Son and our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. The word of God which we consider today is a part of our second reading today from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, where we read, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Just a few minutes ago in the Apostles' Creed, we confessed of our Lord Jesus Christ that he ascended into heaven and sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick or the living and the dead. And this past Thursday was Ascension Day. It's a Christian festival which, because it falls on a Thursday, is now often forgotten in the churches. But we remember today Jesus' ascension into heaven and the fact that he now rules over and fills all things for the good of his church, that he intercedes for us before God the Father with his own shed blood as our intercessor, our advocate before God, that he is the one who pours out his Holy Spirit into our hearts, as we will again celebrate next Sunday on Pentecost, that he is the one who sends forth men to preach the gospel, and that through the preaching and the hearing of his word, he creates faith in our hearts, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith which trusts that because Jesus suffered and died for our sins and rose again, that in him we have forgiveness and life. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ will soon return to judge the living and the dead and establish forever his everlasting kingdom. Today I wanted to focus on the words of the angels to Jesus' disciples when he was taken up into heaven, where they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Sometimes I see these words as maybe a little rebuke. Why are you standing here looking up into heaven? There's work to be done. It's time to bear witness of our Lord Jesus Christ and to spread his word to the ends of the earth. But the angels told them that in the same way as Jesus had ascended up into heaven and was received in clouds of glory, so he would come again on the last day. This word of God, spoken by angels to Jesus' disciples, who had just witnessed Jesus' ascension into heaven, teaches us, of course, that Jesus will return visibly and the clouds of glory on the last day. The Bible tells us so in Revelation chapter 1, where Jesus himself says, or reveals to us, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." These words certainly fit together with the words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was speaking to his disciples about the destruction of the temple and his return on the last day, because it says in Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so Jesus himself speaks of returning visibly and in glory to gather his elect to himself and to judge those who have rejected and have not believed in him. St. Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7, that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So here we have numerous passages telling us that when our Lord Jesus Christ returns on the last day to gather together all his believers to himself, that he will be the same time when he comes and those who have not believed will wail because of him and will be judged by him. And so our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven and was received in the clouds of glory. And we learn from the scriptures that so he shall return on the last day, the day of judgment. He's going to come again in clouds of glory with all his holy angels. Every eye will see him, as it says in Revelation, even those who pierced him. And so we have to say his return is not going to be some secret rapture where suddenly believers disappear, because that's not what the scriptures describe. The scriptures describe him coming in glory and gathering together his elect. Both the believer and the unbeliever will see him coming in glory. And one of the passages that is so often used to teach a secret rapture, when you compare that to what we've just read from the scriptures, really teaches the same thing. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says to the Thessalonians, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," which means go before, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And so again, Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, describes Jesus coming to gather together his elect, bringing the souls of those who have died in the faith with him, raising up all the dead. They meet the Lord in the air. But it is also a day in which he judges those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, it's kind of unfortunate that the chapter division is there, because people stop at the end of chapter 4, and then they think that chapter 5 is talking about a whole nother day, rather than reading it as it is written, as one letter from beginning to end. And so, you know, Paul talks about what is going to happen, and then he talks about when this is going to happen, that it's not known to us. It's like a thief in the night, but it's coming, and it's going to be a day of judgment. The Bible teaches us that as Jesus ascended into heaven, so also shall he return on the last day, not a secret rapture, but coming again in glory. And so the true question for all of us to consider, for all people to consider, is, are you ready for his return in judgment? Those of you who have been joined together in our midweek online Bible study have seen that, you know, in some places, there were people who were looking forward to the day of the Lord, but God had to say, you know, what are you looking forward to the day of the Lord for? Because you're not ready to meet him. Especially the prophet Joel pointed out the judgment which would come upon them. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we ready for that day when Jesus comes back again in the clouds of glory? And the scriptures teach us very plainly that those who do not trust in him for salvation will wail in sorrow on that day because they stand condemned for not having believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, as it says in John chapter 3, verse 18. Jesus pointed out to his hearers, to the Jews who rejected him, that if they didn't believe that he was the Son of God and the Savior, that they would die in their sins. And so all who do not trust in Jesus Christ continue on condemned, dead in their sins, and facing God's judgment. If they're depending upon their own righteousness, think of the words of Isaiah, that all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags before the Lord God. They are not acceptable to him. Or I think of the passage in Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 22, where he tells the parable of the marriage supper. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And of course, you know the account, how then he sends the servants out to call others. But then it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And so instead of coming in the wedding garment provided for them by the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of being clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus, here it pictures somebody coming in his own clothes, in his own righteousness. And what happens? He's bound hand and foot and cast into the eternal fires of hell because many are called, but few are chosen. And so we see that those who do not trust in Christ Jesus as their Savior, those who do not trust that they have pardon and forgiveness for their sins, peace with God for the sake of Christ's innocent sufferings and death, will be condemned. But those who by the grace of God do trust in Christ, those who look to him and his cross for mercy and forgiveness, will rejoice at his return because, as Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 21, their redemption draweth nigh. He tells them, when these things begin to happen, lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. And they know that they will be with him forever in the mansions of his Father's house. So many passages to look at there, but I can't help but think of the beautiful passage in the Gospel of John where Jesus, again, on the night when he was betrayed, either in the upper room or as perhaps they were headed out to the Garden of Gethsemane, in chapter 14 tells his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so Jesus will come again in the clouds of glory and take us to be with him forever in the mansions of his Father's house. We know also that when our Lord Jesus Christ returns, that those who believe in him will see him face to face. They will be transformed into his image. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, right after, we have the familiar verse that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Or St. John writes in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 17, verse 15, after it speaks about, you know, the children of this world receiving their blessings here in this world, their inheritance here in this world, which of course, when they die, they pass it on to their children. It's lost to them, and many times squandered away by their children. But it concludes, David concludes with this verse. He says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And so David's inheritance was not in the things of this world. David's inheritance was when he would be raised up on the last day, he would see the Lord's face. And he would be conformed to the image of the only begotten Son of God and dwell forever with the Lord. And that is the assurance that you and I have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he's coming again. He's coming in the same way as he ascended into heaven. He's coming in clouds of glory. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Those who have not believed will be condemned for not believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God, not repenting of their sins and looking to the cross. But those who do believe have pardon and forgiveness and peace with God. God accepts them as his children. It's a day of rejoicing because we're taken to be forever with the Lord in the mansions of our Father's house. We will see Jesus face to face, and we will be fully conformed to his image. We will be like him. We can't begin to understand what it's like now, but we will be like him. Or as David also says in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. These are the blessings that await us through faith in our crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. Amen. I ask you to please stand. We will sing the offertory, which is found in the front of your hymnal on page 22. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Seated, we continue by bringing forward our offering. I ask you to please stand and join in the prayers of our church. O Jesus Christ, most merciful, reascended Lord, we praise you, our glorious Prince and Savior, for the victory you won in our behalf over death, the devil, sin, and hell, and that you rose again from the dead to be glorified at God's right hand in heaven. From the depths of our hearts come inexpressible thanks for all that your great love and humility have done for us. You have led captivity captive, freeing us from sin and delivering us from eternal death. O everlasting King, great is our need of your love and mercy and of your continual help in these evil times. It is our confidence that if we will but seek you by faith, we shall find you. For you have promised to be always with us and to hear and answer our prayers. Therefore, be to us the complete cure for our sins, our helper in trouble, our consoler in sorrow, our relief from pain, our healer in sickness, our protector in peril, our source of supply in time of need, our deliverer in temptations, our strength for every trial and temptation, our guide in times of confusion, and finally, our redeemer from death. Be our comfort and our support until your glorious reappearing turns the yearning of our weary hearts to the everlasting songs of joy. Through the Holy Spirit's gracious power and indwelling, may we be given a victorious faith and hearts so filled with your love that we be led to live full and complete Christian lives to your praise and glory. How glorious beyond comparison it is for us sinners to be able to lay claim to your promises by faith, and to know that you forgive our sins, hear our prayers, fill our lives with good things, and crown our faith with eternal life. O count not our sins against us, but clothe us with your perfect righteousness before your Father in heaven. And intercede for us at his throne of grace. To you, O gracious and powerful, to you, O glorious and powerful and always gracious Lord, our Prince and Savior, be everlasting honor and praise. Amen. We also join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. At this time we sing the Agnus Dei.
Take us the way of sin above.
Again, I invite you to all come forward. Taking each. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. And the Lord bless you as well. And drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now I ask you to please stand. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. We close by singing verses 5 through 7 of hymn 212, a hymn of glory. Let us sing. Seated. Again, a welcome to all of you, and a reminder that we continue our online midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We start and maybe finish the book of Obadiah, since it's one chapter, on Wednesday, so we will be looking at that. And as far as other announcements, we kind of scheduled to have a meeting today, so I left that. We can have a real brief one, and I don't know any other announcements that need to be made. Anybody else have anything? Lee.
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone. And we have a lot of people to pray for, so, people who couldn't be with us today. Especially Linda, who's in the hospital. Yes. So God's blessings to all of you.